Welcome to And With Your Spirit, a homily podcast that takes preaching out of the sanctuary and moves it into your daily life. Let us make ourselves open to the voice of Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit, that we might be transformed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Good morning, everyone.
The readings this weekend focus on a central theme of how the things of this world, although they can be good, are not final. They're not our ultimate goal. And in fact, Jesus even says they can get in the way if they make us greedy. For the times we have failed to focus on higher things, let us call to mind our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate these sacred mysteries. What matters most to you? My very first year as a priest, 6 years ago, it was actually July, this time of year. I had my very first funeral as a priest. I won't say too much about what my first assignment was and where that was. Some of you already know the answer to that, so I don't want to embarrass the parish. But at my very first funeral, there was a man that died, elderly man. He and his wife had been married for just over 20 years. Each of them had been married before and had children from the prior marriages. And so at the funeral, there was kind of a blend of families there. His children and grandchildren, her children and grandchildren, which were also his stepchildren and step-grandchildren. It was kind of a complicated scenario. Well, the funeral home director told me, "Father, this is a little bit tense with them, so you may not want to ask any questions about who knows who and who's related to who. You might just want to leave all that alone." And I said, happily, right? The funeral happens, as good as a funeral can be, and we go to the cemetery, and it's raining. And when we get to the cemetery location where the hole has been dug, there's a tent over it, like always, with two rows of chairs. The front row has got the velvet cushions on them. And since it's raining, everyone is being packed into this small tent in July in a blended family scenario at a death. And they had already told me, don't get in the midst of that family stuff, right? I didn't have to. Because once everyone finally got under the tent, the widow, who was seated in the front and center of the row, she's staring at the body, waiting for me to start my prayers. And the grandson, or the son of the guy who died, who is her step-grandson or son, says from the back, if she wasn't such a four-letter word, yada, yada, yada. And when he said that, The audacity, first of all, right, to say that. The audacity of that, as soon as he said that, her son jumps into action and goes, no, you didn't, and then jumped across the chairs, and they started fighting. True story. Two wives got involved, or girlfriends, they're pulling each other's hair. I'm not kidding. And an uncle or something of one of them, who had long hair himself and a big mustache, he grabbed both of their chests and held them apart and said, not here, not now. Not here, not now. And they said, okay, same place, same time tomorrow. Everyone calmed down. Everyone got back to their spots. And the funeral home director looks at me and says, go. And I was like, okay, there you go. I cut out everything that asked for a response from the people. I just read the words on the page, didn't look up at anybody. I thought, I'm just going to get through this, you know, because I'm a big intimidating guy and could definitely hold my own, right? And as I'm finishing, because every Catholic funeral service at the graveside is the same, basically. As I'm finishing, the director, who is a veteran, he knew that I was finishing. And so he walked up to the lady, the widow, and he grabbed her under both of her arms like this, like grabbing her elbows to lift her up. And he says, ma'am, come with me. And she slowly rose up from the chair, and I gave everybody the final blessing. And he turns and looks over his shoulder and says, Father, run to the van. And I ran to the van. I got to the van outside of the rain. I look in the rearview mirror of the van that he had driven me over there in. And it looks like one of those cartoons where there's like a cloud of dust and all you see is like an arm or a leg stick out, you know? It was a full-on fight. Crazy. It's crazy, right? Well, we got back to the funeral home itself. And some of the family came back to meet us there to apologize. God bless them for that. They came and they said, yeah, sorry about that. Long story short, the man who passed away owns a truck It's not like a really special truck from like the 1930s, or it wasn't brand new, it's just a truck. He owns a truck, and the son or the grandson thought, his grandpa said, you can have this when I die. But the wife, it was hers, right? Because what was his was theirs, 20 years of marriage. And she wanted to keep it because they lived out in the country and wanted to be able to use the truck when he was gone. And they were fighting over whose truck it was. I got back to the office at the parish, and the pastor, since I was the associate, the pastor comes walking by my office and my door was open. He looks in, and I guess he could see how defeated I looked on my face. And he goes, how'd the funeral go? And I said, well, here's what happened. And he sat down. He goes, Tyler, I've been a priest for 43 years. I've never even heard of something that bad happening. I said, thank you. And then he said, well, look at it this way. Every funeral from here on out is a piece of cake. And I said, that's true. That is true. The gospel reading, someone in the crowd, we don't know his name. Someone in the crowd says, teacher, tell my brother to give me my part of the inheritance. Dad's dead, or mom and dad are both dead. My brother and I, we got to split it. He kept my half. It's not fair. He goes to Jesus and says, don't you care about justice, son of justice? And Jesus looks back to him and doesn't say, you're right, and snap his fingers and everything is now even. He doesn't even go with him to his house to consult the other brother and say, listen, buddy, since you held extra, you're giving all of it over to this. He says, no, take care to guard against all greed, because your life doesn't consist of possessions. And then he tells a story. He says there's a rich man who owned land, and the harvest happened to be really big that year. And so he says, wow, I've got a lot of grain, so much grain that I can't fit it into my barns. I know what I'll do. I'll tear them down and build new ones. I can store my grain and my other goods. And then I'll say to myself, well done. Eat, drink, be merry, and rest. And then God comes along and says, yeah, think twice. You're dying tonight. And everything you've just made is being left to others. And hopefully your family doesn't fight over the truck. This is a warning for us. Where are your riches? What matters the most to you? This past Wednesday, when we had our back-to-school bash, or was that Tuesday? This past week, when we had our back-to-school bash at Corpus Christi, I asked the kids, I said, what's the most valuable thing that you have? And it can't be like your mom or your, you know, like a thing. It's the most valuable thing that you have. And they said things like, my Wishmallow. It's like a pillow thing. Anyways, or the Nintendo Switch. Or they said a statue. One of them said their pets, right? I said, if your house was on fire and you could grab one thing, what would it be? And this is what they were answering, right? What's the most valuable things to you? And we all have those. And actually, I think kids know them better than we do. Because most of us are blind to what matters the most to us. But if you want to find out where your heart is, what is the richest thing for you, look at where you spend the most time. Check your calendar. Where are you putting in the most hours at? Look at your history on your GPS. Where are you driving to? What do your receipts add up to? Where's your money being spent? When you're daydreaming, what comes to mind? When you're watching movies, what kind of movies do you want to watch, and what character do you see yourself as? That's what matters most to you. These things reveal where our hearts actually are, and usually they're not on point, usually. So Jesus says, look at this man. And here's the two lessons I think that he's trying to teach us today. It's some farmer, and he happens to do well one year, and so he tears down his barns, and I think it's his first sin. My dad's a farmer. We've been farmers our whole lives. If we had a bountiful harvest one year, would my dad wreck our grain bins, pour new concrete pads, build new structures so he can fill the grain bins again next year? Why not? Because sometimes you just get lucky with farming. Right? I mean, we got super lucky right now. It rained for like a whole week. This week it's going to be hot again. The corn is happy. We needed it too. And at the beginning of the year, or actually the end of this year, you already contract the seed you're going to get for next year. So we know the kind of corn or beans or wheat or whatever you plant that we're going to buy. We're going to guess there's going to be a drought next year too, or we're not. We're going to guess there's going to be this kind of bug or these kinds of weeds that this kind of seed, which has been modified to fight against. You make your plans and then you pray. Let there be this much rain, Lord. And the other farmer next door is going, no, this much rain, right? And you hope that your hotline is straighter than his. This farmer's first sin is that he thinks this is about him. I'm going to tear down my barns and build new ones because guess what? I am so good at farming that I'm going to get it again next year. But that's not how grace works. Grace is freely given. You don't earn it. No matter how hard you work, you can't get it yourself. And so when your workplace gives you a half a day off, or when you get a rebate in the mail from a company you forgot you made a purchase from, you say, thanks be to God, instead of, I better get that again 12 months from now. The second sin that this landowner falls into is that he thinks that what was given to him is for himself alone. He says, I'm going to store my grain and all my other goods, and then I'm just going to do nothing. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. And there's times for that. Catholics know that. But when we're given something, sometimes it's not meant for us. A couple years, 3 years ago, somebody sent me a check in the mail for $600, which is a lot of money for a priest. And it wasn't to like Corpus Christi Parish or House of Discernment. It was written to Tyler Tenbarge. And I thought, thank you, sir, right? And I thought, I could put this in my retirement account. I could save this for a vacation I want to go on. The next day at lunch, a college student told me he was going to go off and do missionary work, and he was trying to raise money for the coming year. And I thought, okay, that's why I was given this money. Pass it on. I'm not trying to say, look at my halo, right? But Harvard Business Research in 2017, he did a study of 4,000 millionaires. 4,000 millionaires in the United States. And he asked them, what's the number one way to ensure your own and your children's happiness? What's the one thing you can do to make yourself and your children happy? You know what the number one reason or number one way they said? These 4,000 millionaires, you know what they said? Stop giving your money to your kids and make them earn it. And give your money away instead. That'll make you and your children happier. That's what millionaires said. That's what rich men said, rich women said. Ones who built lots of barns. They know the truth. Do we? A few years ago, I saw a family fighting over a truck. One of them almost ended up in the grave. Maybe figuratively, too. And maybe the reason Jesus is telling this somebody, this anonymous voice in the crowd, not to worry about the inheritance, is because when things are all gone, it doesn't matter. Maybe what Jesus is saying is, my friend, you've already lost your dad. You've already lost your stuff. Don't lose your family too. What matters the most to you? Something good to think about.